I feel like we're now starting all of our segments with an update on what we just ate.
Yep.
So the latest thing they sent out was a bit of a cookie skillet. And I say a bit of a cookie skillet because I mean it was a cookie skillet.
Yeah. And the way that it was a cookie skillet, that's the nature of the cookie skillet.
Ice cream right on top.
Right on top.
Now, it seems like your strategy over there, maybe it's just what happened, letting it melt a little bit and then kind of stirring it all up together.
I didn't even mean to. It just sort of happened that way.
Yeah.
But, well, that's just about the most delicious thing I've ever had.
It's good.
That's pretty stupid.
Hyde Social, the spot of a Friday field trip every single week, all season. We've been out and about. When we started this, we didn't think the Commanders were going to be particularly good. But because of that, we're like, let's just get some fans together on Fridays. Let's just high five over the rare Terry McLaurin touchdown or the big Jaden Daniels highlight, and let's just get through this season together. That was kind of the idea.
Yeah, let's commiserate.
Next thing you know, they're rolling. They're top of the conference with the Lions, and this thing's been building and building and building, and now it's the playoffs, and we're still going. So Hyde Social, Clarendon, we're here till 6:30 on Grant and Danny on the Fan. Patrick Peterson's going to be stopping through the show in about 25 minutes. Get his thoughts on Evans, Lattimore, the matchup everybody's talking about. I don't know of another two players that hate each other as much as those two guys do. You think about the old rivalry between Odell Beckham Jr. and Josh. Do you remember when those guys got at it so much that, like, I think Norman came out of the tunnel with a bat to try to intimidate him? They started fighting pregame. Do you remember
that? Oh, I remember that now, yeah. Good pull.
This is that. I mean, this is two guys that just have bad blood.
It's like Andre Johnson, Cortland Finnegan territory.
Yeah, and that was, it was best I can remember, like a one-off fight. This is like they played so much twice a year that every single time there were dramatics and they got after each other. Evans is on a heater coming into the playoffs rolling. Lattimore's been banged up, but Washington acquired him with the hopes that he could go out and shut down a really high-end wide receiver in a big game. Now's the time, young man. We are waiting for you, and we need you.
You'll notice a high-end receiver and a big game. So there you go. Enter Marshawn Lattimore.
All right, let's bring in Darius. We're going to go through some of the props, the individual projections for the Commanders here and the Bucks in this game. This is a good way to give you guys a feel for like what we think the game looks like and what I call game script. How's this thing going to play out? So Darius will use the FanDuel props because I'm a FanDuel guy.
Yes, indeed, and we will start, as we always do, with quarterback number one, and his name is Jaden Daniels. They have him set at 235.5 passing yards, over or under.
I like over 235 for Daniels. Tampa Bay allows a high completion percentage. They're going a lot of short and intermediate throws by design. When you look at games like this, Daniels has thrived. We saw the Eagles play a similar way in the second half. Big numbers. We saw the Falcons play a similar game. He threw for about 230 and three touchdowns. Jaden Daniels goes over. I'm going to say he's right around 250 yards. He's only surpassed 250 twice since the Bears game via the Hail Mary, believe it or not. But I think this is going to be a game like that. We'll get to this later with him running the ball. I actually think Jaden Daniels is going to be their leading rusher. He's going to have a huge day on the ground as well. But I'm going to say he throws for 245, 250.
Slide under on this one. Tampa knows what you just said. They know that Washington can't run the football, and they're not worried about it. I think they will do a really good job defending the pass with Antoine Winfield back into. I think they give him a little bit of, I don't say some fits, but I don't think there will be a lot of success there in the passing game too early. So I've got a slight under right around 220 yards.
You think they have the personnel to stop them in the passing game?
I think everybody does. All you have to be worried about is Terry McLaurin, and they don't have much else. This is a Jaden Daniels show, and you're going to see where I think the game's going to go here in a moment when we start talking rushing totals.
Yeah, let's move on to Baker Mayfield, the opposing quarterback. They have him set just about 9 yards over what Jaden Daniels' expectation is, 244.5.
So this is a low total, Danny. And I'm going to
got my head scratching there. Why is that so low?
I'm going to go as far as to say this is actually one of my favorite props of the weekend as it sits right now. I know he only threw for 220 last week. They had a really, really bad first half. And maybe, I don't know if the odds makers are kind of baking that into the equation. But prior to that, he threw for 359, 303, 288, 295, 294. And he has sailed past this. This is not a great matchup in terms of corners on receivers. I think Jalen McMillan's going to have a big game against Washington's down the depth chart DBs. This is a big time over for me. I like Baker Mayfield to be in the 270 to 300 range.
I do too, and I'm wondering why the line is set right here. I'm wondering if maybe the point is that Washington is going to try to counter this and let Bucky Irving run wild. I don't quite get why that over-under is so low, but I think over.
I think it reflects, and I don't know, I'm just guessing, they think Washington's going to lose, and that means Tampa's going to run more in the second half to kind of salt the game away. The other thing I've heard a lot of listening to one of the Bucks podcasts this week from one of the guys that covers them, at least what they have been saying, I don't know if this is what they're doing or not, is that they want to run the ball a lot to keep Washington's offense off the field. That essentially they are worried about Jaden Daniels. They are worried about the number four scoring offense in the league that the Commanders present. And so the idea is maybe they're not trying to throw it as much. It's a ball control run fest, so to speak.
Because you think you'd be able to do that, obviously.
Exactly, yeah. To take the air out of the football. So maybe that's part of the logic. But I'm with you, man. I think that's a low total. Like, if only we had a game where we saw Baker Mayfield against this defense this year. Oh, wait, he threw for 290 and 4 in week one.
Yeah, wait.
Look, they're different. I understand. Lattimore didn't play then. But they're more different where the quarterback's grown up than they are in the secondary, where it's kind of the same cast of characters other than Lattimore coming back from injury.
On to the rushing props. Jaden Daniels' rushing prop is set at 48.5.
I'm going to take Mjolnir. That is the hammer of Thor. Only those that are worthy may lift it. And I'm going to hammer the over on this. I'm going to bet on it. I'm going to take money from my account and wager on this being the over. I think this is the story. Jaden Daniels is going to run and run and run wild. You'll see scrambles. You'll see design stuff. There is no tomorrow. You're not saving Jaden Daniels for later on this season. This is the season. It is win or it's vacation time. He is going to run. I know that Tampa's probably concerned about it. I think a lot of teams are. When he's healthy and he's right, he can run despite your best defense. He's going to go, I think, over 75, 80 yards in this game. I am hammering that over.
So if you look at Jaden Daniels, first of all, over for me as well, and I'm equally as confident. This is just the expectation for me. I think they're going to have more designed runs for Daniels in this game than they did in any game this year. And there's two reasons. The first is they cannot run the ball traditionally, and I don't really see the fix this week against one of the five best run defenses in the NFL. So they've been able to move the chains, stay ahead of the sticks, and have success offensively with Daniels doing work. Turn that up. Turn that fader as far up as you can. As you said, this isn't about prioritizing next month or 2 months or the long season. You got to win today. So the best version of yourself is what? It's Jaden Daniels playing hero ball and making a play. But I also think there's going to be scramble city from Jaden Daniels. He scrambled 25 more times than any other player in the league this year. That's Lamar Jackson. That's you think about the Josh Allen, like whoever it is that likes to extend the play, get out of the pocket, whatever. 25 yep. more times. So between 7, 8, 9 designed runs, maybe another 7, 8 scrambles, I think it could be a 13 to 15 carry game for Jaden Daniels. And if that sounds crazy, he had 216 rush games this season. One was in week one against Tampa when he had his season high, his career high, 127 rushing yards, oh, by the way. And it would be the, like, seventh time this year that he has run 10 or more times. Mm-hmm. So I'm fully expecting that. He's going well over that number. I would say there's a better chance. Like, I might even do an alt rushing for him and just sprinkle $5 or $10 on 100 yards where you're going to get really, really good odds.
Yeah.
Because I do – maybe I end up looking crazy and he just dots the I and slings the ball around all day and never leaves the pocket. My guess is he's going to go out and play some hero ball.
FanDuel has Brian Robinson's rushing total set at 47.5.
Under for me. And that total has gone down every week for good reason. I don't see him being able to get going at all in this game. I think Austin Eckler, which we might get to, I like his rushing total. I like him going over that. I think basically they're going to go away from Brian Robinson. I think it's going to end up being Eckler. That'll be Chris Rodriguez to a degree. I just don't see the early down success coming back here against a really good defensive line, especially that interior. I don't think they've been able to run the ball. I don't think even the return of Tyler Biadasz, hopefully to full health, is going to be able to fix their woes in that regard. And I don't see Cliff Kingsbury just beating his head against the wall, thinking like they did against New Orleans or Dallas or some of these other teams, where they just believed in their heart that they'd be able to run it with Brian Robinson and couldn't do it for four quarters. You don't have time for that. You don't have time to mess around here. I see them maybe trying a couple times. If it's not working, they'll do something else.
So you agree that in the last month he's run it ineffectively, yeah?
100%, yeah.
He's gone over the total in 2 of 4 games, 60 and 65 yards during this stretch, because they keep giving him the ball. I don't really get why, but they haven't decided, hey, let's give Chris Rodriguez more work. Hey, let's give Austin Eckler more carries. They kind of go down with the B-Rob ship. He's gotten 13 carries on a game where he wasn't all that effective against Atlanta. It was better. He got 21 carries in a game where he was averaging about two a pop against New Orleans.
I know, that's my point. They said, we know we'll be able to break free at some point, and they never did.
And so my point is he will go over 47 because he's going to get about 15 carries. Mm. And it's going to be 3.2 per carry or whatever. It'll be 15 for 50. It's going to be ineffective and not help him that much, but it'll keep Tampa just honest enough. I think you got to be careful with Yaya Diaby. And I really just wanted to say Yaya Diaby.
You're into that, yeah.
That name is awesome to say, by the way. Yaya Diaby. I'm going to say it one more time. You have to be careful with Yaya Diaby.
One must be careful with Yaya Diaby.
Yaya Diaby had four hits on the quarterback, a sack and a half, and four tackles for loss this past week. Yaya Diaby. I said it again. Yaya Diaby.
What did you say?
He's the one guy on this defense in terms of the pass rush who could pin his ears back and get up the field a little bit. But I think you want to keep Vita Vea honest. You want to keep Kalijah Kancey honest, playing the run. So you've got to mix in B-Rob. Again, if it was 57, no chance. 67, not even with your money. 47 yards, that's 15 carries. I think they can get there.
And you already mentioned Austin Eckler. They have him set at 20 and a half rushing yards.
Yaya Diaby.
Yaya Diaby would have accepted Yaya Diaby. I like the over. I like the over on any total you give me for Austin Eckler. I think he'll, that's kind of what they're waiting to unleash. I think they realize that either something's going on with Robinson or, you know, even if there isn't anything, nothing's working when it comes to Robinson running the football. I think they'll run Austin Eckler. I think there'll be a lot of short passes to Austin Eckler. I like every total you can throw at me from Eckler to go over. I think he'll be there. Leading gainer from scrimmage, non-J Daniels division.
Well, let me be clear. This is just rushing totals, yeah?
Yeah.
Under. They gave him three carries, I think, for 12 yards this past game against Dallas. I think they want to be a little bit careful with how many shots he's taken, how quickly, right? The two serious concussions, you can dictate a little bit more about contact to Eckler and how much physical toll he's taking on. If you're slinging him the ball toward the sideline, getting him the ball in space in the flat, letting him fall and be tackled with room around him, then you know, pounding the ball between the tackles. So I will say he gets like four or five carries, but it'll be in the high teens maybe. I'll go under. I do think over in receiving yards, to your point on Eckler, is one of my favorite plays of the day.
Yeah, 19 and a half. I like that, the first possession.
Yep. And 19 and a half could happen in the first quarter.
And quickly,
Yaya Diaby, by the way.
Yaya Diaby, Darius.
Before we move to receiving props, Yaya Diaby. Bucky Irving, 87 and a half rushing yards. Big total for Bucky Irving.
I like a slight under there. I don't think it'll be because they stop him or do a great job. I just think there will be enough opportunities in the passing game for Tampa. I think they may try Irving early, but I think he'll end up right around 80, 85 yards.
That's a huge number.
It's a big number.
87 and a half.
Yeah. Clearly, you can see the game script that the betting folks are coming up with.
I think he goes over. I think he hits something for like 25 yards
and that does
at some point, and it gets him to like probably like 22 carries for 97 yards or something, even though they commit and do everything they can to slowing him down. Yaya Diaby.
Yaya Diaby.
All-pro wide receiver Terry McLaurin. That's right. All-pro. They have a set of 60 and a half receiving yards, over or under.
Right around that mark for me. I'm going to say a slight overage. I think a slight overage here. Not by a ton. I think Tampa knows. I think Todd Bowles knows. I think everybody involved knows. That's where this little piece of bread I'm holding right here, that's where it's buttered. So I think he goes over, but not by a ton.
Definitely over. Come on. 60 and a half. This is the bell cow. This is the guy that gets the targets and the catches. The Bucs are not a particularly good secondary. They're getting a safety back. That'll help. They're getting a cornerback who's been banged up. They'll be a little bit better in that area, but they're not going to defend McLaurin well, I don't think. This screams like seven catches for 87 yards and a touchdown, hopefully, from Terry McLaurin. He will go over that number, Yaya Diaby.
Mike Evans will be matched up against Marshawn Lattimore. They haven't said 74 and a half.
Over. Over that number. I don't think he wins Tampa the game. Like, he will not get off. He's not going to go crazy. Week one, he's caught two touchdowns, completely changed the game. I don't see that happening. But I think you get those in-breakers, those, like, 17, 18-yard dig routes underneath of, you know, the linebackers coming up to play the run. A lot of more will get him to the ground. It's not going to be a lot after the catch. But I'm going to say maybe 90 yards, something like that. I don't think you lose because of it. I more worry about Jalen McMillan going for 90 or 100. Like, that's what I can't allow. Evans is going to get his. No yards after the catch, nothing explosive. He's not leaving people in his wake. He's not winning down the field. I'm fine with that. Give him all the stuff in the middle of the field. I can't have the big explosives vertically.
Yeah, I think it's an over. I think it's like an 8 for 86 with a tutty kind of day for Mike Evans. I, even though he and Lattimore have their history and it's gotten physical and there's been some mean words exchanged and some tomfoolery back and forth, I don't think you can come off the IL or come off the shelf as Lattimore is doing here and actually shut that guy down. Evans is too good and this offense is too good.
All right, and we'll wrap it up with a two-piece combo here. Olamide Zaccheaus and Zach Ertz both have their props set at 40.5.
Zaccheaus under, Ertz over. Tampa susceptible to tight end play. Juwan Johnson went for 80 yards, the Saints tight end last week. They're a little soft in the middle of the field based on how good they are against the run. They oftentimes will have six on the line of scrimmage and give you some stuff right behind the line in the, you know, the between the hashes for tight ends.
Under for Zaccheaus, over for Ertz. I echo GP's sentiment right there. I think, you know, you kind of are pacing yourself on the Ertz front through most of the season. To his credit, he was healthy throughout. Really, really cool that he was able to play a complete season. But, again, now is winning time. Now you go with your guys. Now you go with your horses. Because, again, there might not be a tomorrow. I think Ertz has himself a nice day around 55 yards.
Attaboy, Dad. Thank you. We appreciate you. FanDuel props. That's how we see some of the Commanders performers playing out this Sunday and their performances. By the way, I want you to give me different emotions, and I'm going to say Yaya Diaby as that emotion.
Surprised.
Yaya Diaby?
Good one. Really good. Confused.
Yaya Diaby?
You're good at this.
Thank you.
All right. Give me, you just got a surprise.
Okay.
$1,000 from Odyssey Points. So you have your $1,000 is now being deposited into your account because you asked your coworkers for Odyssey points.
Yaya Diaby?
Yeah. That's an interesting choice. Yeah. I would have gone Yaya Diaby, but you went.
Yeah.
You exclaimed it.
So, like, I think angry.
That's a good acting choice.
Angry is more like.
I got to do that. Hold on. You are on your way back to your car, and you see that little parking ticket underneath your windshield.
I'm going to do, like. You got to be kidding me, right?
Yeah.
It's like, Yaya Diaby.
That's so good. God, that's good.
Right?
That's so good.
Grant and Danny on the fan. Patrick Peterson joins us next to go around the horn, talk NFL playoff games. And at 6 o'clock, we'll be joined by Yaya Diaby.
Yaya Diaby.
From Hyde Social in Arlington. Come on out. We're here until 6:30, a great place to watch games. Bar's been open since October. It's gorgeous in here. Absolutely fantastic. By the way, if any of you guys would like some delicious ice cream cake, they just brought out cake for us for our 11-year anniversary as a show. So thank you, first of all.
Yeah, thank you.
But you guys can enjoy some cake. We'll cut it for you. We'll get you some cake because it is – it's more than Danny's going to pummel, I can assure you.
I got just the tip to see how it feels, but just a very little bit.
And?
So I haven't had a chance to. We've got to talk to Patrick Peterson, man.
That's a good point. On the line is Odyssey NFL insider Patrick Peterson. Make sure to check out his podcast, First and Pod, on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Patrick, it's awesome to have you on the show, buddy. Thanks for hopping aboard. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great. And yourself?
Doing very
awesome,
well.
Buddy.
We're ready for playoff football in D.C. Now, so much is made about Jaden Daniels being a rookie and going into the postseason here. I'm curious what you think that really means for him. He's shown the ability to not feel like the moment was big all year long, to kind of handle everything in stride. How much is Sunday night going to be for him?
It will be a little bit different just because, you know, there is no tomorrow. There is no more game planning if you lose this game. So there are going to be, you know, people on edge a little bit, understanding that, you know, every moment, every drive matters. And he's never been in this position before. But I've seen throughout the season that he's more than capable of going into Tampa Bay and squeezing out a victory because you saw what he did against the Philadelphia Eagles, which is a playoff opponent. You saw what he did against the Chicago Bears. You know, that kind of started a downhill for the rest of their season. So what he have done throughout this season and give me the confidence that he will be able to go in there and play his best football to try to give his guys the best opportunity to win it.
Patrick, the young guys, in your experience as both a player, an analyst, and everything in between, the young guys that dealt with that kind of pressure well versus those that didn't, what was kind of the difference?
Pretty much the same things I stated earlier, to really understand that there is no tomorrow and understand how precious these playoff moments are, because you can be in the playoff this year and you won't make it to the playoff another 4 or 5 years, you know, unless you're Patrick Mahomes and you're in the playoff each and every year. But most teams are not fortunate like that. You know, Jaden may have that potential to do something like that, but that's very fortunate, you know. So you have to take advantage of the opportunity that's in front of you, because you never know what's going to happen tomorrow. So that's, you know, I'm sure it's been preached around the locker room and from Coach Dan Quinn, a guy who's been in the Super Bowl, who won a Super Bowl with the Seattle Seahawks, who's been in the Super Bowl with the Atlanta Falcons. So he understands how precious these moments are and how hard it is to get there. So let's not, you know, waste any moments and waste this time, you know, that's in front of us to go out here and try to get this championship.
Patrick Peterson's with us on G&D. Played in the playoffs 4 different times, 2014, 2015, 22, and 23, with 3 different organizations, including the Vikings and the Steelers. Of course, had the 72-yard pick six at one point in time in the playoffs with the Cardinals. When you look at the current way we do things, how do you feel about the really good wild card team, let's say like a 14-win team, Minnesota, going on the road to a potential 7-win division champion? Like, do you feel like the division champions should get the home game? Should it matter that way? Or should we base some of the seeding or, you know, home and away just based on overall record? How do you view the current alignment?
Yeah, I think I think it should go on, you know, on record. You know, if you win your division, yes, you get an automatic bid into the playoffs. But if your record is not better than your opponent, you know, then you'll have to go on the road. I think that's just fair, because it's not fair for the Minnesota Vikings to win 14 games, go 14-3, and have to play on the road and, you know, possibly be kicked out of the playoffs in the first round, because we all know how hard it is to win on the road. Not saying that they're going to lose that ball game, but it is tough to play on the road in the playoffs. But they definitely played a good enough season to where they earned the right to play a home field, a home game in the playoffs. But the way the current playoff system is now, those guys have to go on the road. I can probably see it changing, though, in the next couple of years, just because you see how bad, you know, the NFC South has been year in and year out. The AFC, the AFC South, how bad they've been year in and year out. You know, so I think they probably will put some thought into this moving forward, though.
Patrick, right now in your view, what team comes into the playoffs playing the best football? Who do you think has kind of hit their stride here?
You got to be the Detroit Lions. You know, just the way they beat up on the San Francisco 49ers, the Minnesota Vikings, the Detroit Lions, you know, just to finish off the season. Those guys are just, and despite all the injuries that they're that they had to endure throughout this season, these guys are playing, you know, their best football, and they're clicking on all cylinders, regardless who they have in the lineup right now. So I have to go with the Detroit Lions, with the team who's playing their best football entering the playoffs.
Patrick, how do you feel about Commanders Bucks Sunday Night Football, the game we care the most about? Who do you like in that matchup?
Man, it's going to be a good game, man. I really do. I'm going to go with the Washington Commanders on the upset, because it's always going to be one road team that have an opportunity to go on the road and pull off the upset. And I think this is the one. I think these teams are evenly matched. You know, they pretty much have the experience on the quarterback side, but for the most part, the receivers are evenly matched. Defenses are what and what. And, you know, Baker just have the experience, in my opinion, over Jaden Daniels in that field. So it should be a great game. I'm looking forward to it, to see how the rookie performs in his first playoff game. And like I said, I'm looking for the Washington Commanders to pull off an upset on their first road playoff win on their journey to the championship.
In terms of coaching, preparation, kind of the lead up to the playoffs, you mentioned that there's the extra pressure. Everybody knows that, right? I mean, you're aware that it's win or go home, or win or start your vacation. What did you like from coaches over the years? And what advice would you give to Dan Quinn in kind of the lead up to this massive game that everyone knows is for a whole bunch?
Man, you know, just keep everything the same. You know, at the end of the day, it's still a football game. You know, you don't want to, make point of emphasis of things and putting, a lot more on guys' plate than it needs to be. You know what I mean? Just still play the game. And, you know, as well as you can, execute the game plan as best as you can. And at the end of the day, if we go out there and continue to play the ball that got us here, you know, play mistake-free football, you know, we can see ourselves in the next round. But, you know, for coaches, I just think sometimes they just get a little bit too tight. You know what I mean? Just really just starting to do stuff out of the ordinary. And at the same time, we really don't need that because we're a good enough football team. We're a 12-win football team. We belong here. So at the end of the day, we don't need to do anything different. We just have to do it better than our opponent.
Patrick, at the end of your time in Arizona, you played for Cliff Kingsbury, who's the OC here now. There was a lot this week written about Kingsbury's growth and being more open to players and letting them in on more elements of his life. I'm just curious what you thought of Cliff as a head coach and what you would think about the possibility of him becoming a head coach again after a pretty strong year as an OC.
Yeah, I thought Cliff was a solid head coach. I just think the job was a little bit too big for him at the time, coming from college and having the opportunity to deal with grown men and really, you know, having the whole, you know, organization pretty much in your palms. I think that was, you know, different for him stepping into that field, but now have an opportunity to, you know, not only step away from the game, but go off to college and now be back into the NFL and watch how Dan Quinn pretty much run the system. And pretty much, you know, I'm sure he's taking notes on how he can do certain things differently, you know, moving forward if he have an opportunity to get a second chance. But the way he ran practice, the way he took care of the guys, he definitely did, you know, a great job of that week in and week out. Like I said, I just think with him being an offensive-minded coach, he was just, in my opinion, you know, when he was a head coach, he was just a little distance from the defense. Defensive guys and the defense in general, you know. So as a head coach, you have to be, you know, have your hand in the paddle in pretty much all phases, you know. So, like I said, I know he probably, you know, learned from his, from the time he had as a head coach as the Arizona Cardinals, and I'm sure that he won't, you know, looking to be better as a head coach to have much more success his second go around.
Patrick, treat to catch up with you, man. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the games this weekend.
Man, same to you guys.
Be good. There's Patrick Peterson, just a tremendous NFL player.
He was so good.
Three-time first-team All-Pro and very likely eventually a Hall of Famer. Is it fair to say that the Commanders have the least pressure on them of any team going into Wild Card Weekend? Because that could make them even more dangerous. We'll get into that. Look at that next on Grant and Danny. We're at Hyde Social over in Clarendon celebrating a playoff Friday night in the DA ahead of the Commanders and the Bucks in Tampa on Sunday. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. Hyde Social's been awesome. They got us balloons to celebrate our 11th anniversary.
Yes.
Which was just this week.
That's more than we got each other.
It's true. More than anyone got us for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And they even just gave us delicious ice cream cake to celebrate the big anniversary as well. So our listeners are enjoying that as they're checking out the show out and about. But a great bar to watch your games throughout the NFL playoffs. Great screen situation. They have the audio for the game, all the big games.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio State, Texas tonight, as you are going forward in the college football playoff to the national championship and any of your sports viewing needs. This is you want good food? You want comfortable seating? This is the place.
You know what I like the most? There's a lot of things I like the most about it. The comfortable seating we talked about, the TV situation. I like places where you can, whatever you want to do, you can do. In other words, like, You want a nice sit-down meal? You can do that here. You want to kick back, put your feet up, watch the game with a brewski and some wings? You can do that. Want a great brunch? You can do that. You want to meet, like, attractive members of the opposite sex? You could probably do that, too.
Wow.
That's not something I'm into.
No.
I like to look at my computer screen
you hate
and
that.
Do the show.
Yes.
But, like, other I've heard of it. Other people do that.
You hate doing
Ryan does that, for example.
Ryan doesn't do that anymore.
He did that before.
Yes. There was a time.
There was a time.
Ryan considered doing it, and he had the choice to keep doing that, and then he said, I'm going to opt out of that.
He said, Yaya Diaby to that.
Yeah, Yaya Diaby up in here. He just wasn't into it.
Not up in here.
It's like, this is fun. I should stop doing this immediately.
Yeah, I don't like that anymore.
Yeah. Why would I keep having the best life ever? Yaya Diaby.
New, not for me, thanks.
Yaya Diaby.
Yaya Diaby.
Indeed. All right. The question I pose to you before we break.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Commanders the team with the least pressure on them this weekend? The reason I ask this is, there is something to be said with just playing house money, free and easy football. If you have nothing to lose, you're dangerous. I think when I go through every team playing Saturday, Sunday, Monday, the Commanders are the most house money team in the league. That makes them even more dangerous. Like, you could throw the Chargers at me and say, well, what's different? You're one of Jim Harbaugh. And that's close, I would say. Except that Herbert is much further along in his career than Jaden Daniels is in his rookie season. And the Chargers, collectively, are a more veteran operation in terms of the guys they have under multi-year contracts moving forward. The Broncos are another one where you can see the quarterback, Bo Nix. They're not supposed to be here. Mm-hmm. But it's the second year of this coaching staff and this regime.
Yeah, they're second on my list. To Washington. You pitched this to me. Pitch Perfect style, right? You're Anna Kendrick with the empty cup, right?
Yeah.
And you're talking about you're going to miss me by my hair.
I'm taking the long way round.
Two bottle whiskey for the way. Right, and we harmonized. And I went, Grant, come on. And then I thought about it.
And I sure would like some sweet company.
You're correct, is the point of the dude's story. You're 100% right about this. Because the other nominees, you mentioned Broncos, Chargers. Chargers, first year of a new head coach. Yeah, but it's Jim Harbaugh. You know it's a ticking time bomb. You've got a small window. Justin Herbert is already into his I'm a star quarterback, you must pay that means his money situation.
He's already been paid.
Yeah, he's been paid right now. And it's not going down, the amount that you owe that dude. Guaranteed $60 million this year, for example. Denver's probably the next closest to me. But as you said, it's the second year of a veteran head coach in Sean Payton. And, I think they're probably, again, as I said, second on this list. Washington outperformed their expectations by so far. They are so, I think devoid in so many spots that you would presume are going to be filled by Peterson Company, that you're kind of going, this is the exact house money situation that you sort of dream up in a lab. Now, it doesn't mean there's not pressure in individual moments. Doesn't mean that on 3rd and 7 with a minute 10 left to go and no timeouts, there's not a pressure on a throw or a tackle or whatever. That's not what we're saying. The point is, if Washington doesn't win, it's not going to be the, oh, my God, here we go again, devastation from the fan base, by and large, that you normally would see in some of these other cities.
No, I mean, think about it. When's the last time you play a playoff game and when you lose, the story is, thank you for that season. Like, that's kind of what we're talking about at this point with the Commanders. There's going to be some of that with the Broncos.
Yeah.
But, again, you're 40% of the way into the Sean Payton contract at this point. Chargers, Texans, similarly, I think you get a little bit of, wow, Jim Harbaugh's the guy, we're rolling. But the Herbert thing is different. Teams like Philly, tons of pressure.
Windows open.
When you're the favorite, when you've paid Jalen Hurts, when you're the number 2 seed in the conference and everyone thinks you should be or could be in a Super Bowl, like, what are we doing here, Harry? Specific to the opponent for Washington, the Bucks. They've been in the playoffs 5 straight years. They obviously ran the table and won the Super Bowl back in 2020 with Tom Brady. But it doesn't really feel like they're at risk of being that team now, and like there's a ceiling with Baker Mayfield in this operation that's still massive and growing, right? It's kind of like they can make the playoffs in a bad division. Maybe they can win a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I just see a lack of pressure that if I were playing the Commanders would worry me a little bit because they just have nothing to lose. If you're Dan Quinn, you can go for fourth downs. You can just shoot from the hip in these games.
Be wild, unpredictable.
Because no one's going to be crushing you if you don't win this thing. And if we're being honest, you're a 3-point underdog on the road. Not that many people are really expecting you to win this game. We've had guests on all week. I would say 8 out of 10 of them have said, that the Bucs are going to win. Patrick Peterson just joined us. He was one of the first guys to tell us from the national perspective he's picking Washington.
I think that's a good point. I mean, they're underdogs. I mean, they joined Denver and a couple of the other teams that are going on the road in very different situations than, you know, the established window open contenders that they're playing against, right? Like, whereas if Denver loses, yeah, they were 10-point dogs, give or take, to Buffalo, who's a Super Bowl contender. They probably should lose. No big deal. But again, for Washington, with the rookie of the year and not that much else around, the first year of everything, from GM to ownership group to head coach and everything in between, there's no supposed to with this. There's, you know what I mean? There's no expectation, right? And if you and that, to me, as you said, makes you very dangerous, right? Where you don't feel that same pucker that one of these teams, like the Ravens, for example, must be feeling, and how they deal with that, I think is going to be a fascinating storyline. Some of these favorites as the playoffs go on, like the expectations are incredibly high. They're not there for Washington, and they've just been, you know, superseding those really since week one.
Who is going to shine for the Commanders in Tampa? Plus our prediction, not just for Commanders Bucks, but for all the playoff games in our final segment, taking you up to 6:30. We'll do that next from Hyde Social in Arlington, right here on The Fan.